passage we are going to take a look at today is the third part of the whole bread of life discourse that Jesus talked about in John chapter 6. So you can follow along on the screen, beginning with verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And this is the word of the Lord. So we're going to talk today about two choices. So decisions. Who here likes to make decisions? Anybody want to admit to that? I hate making decisions. There's always, though, isn't there, a decision to be made in our daily lives. So before making decisions, we usually, you know, fall on logic, or maybe you make a pros cons list to whatever decision you're trying to make. So there's all kinds of decisions that we make each and every day. There's silly decisions, like this first picture I have up here. Who remembers this? Is this a blue dress or a gold dress? It's definitely blue. Well, see? But that's a decision. Next one. Is this a yellow butterfly or two people facing each other? Of the people, by the way, said it's a yellow butterfly. In case you're wondering. You're right. It is both. You can see both. So those are kind of silly decisions we make. Then there's minor decisions. Like who here, does anybody here struggle with picking a parking spot? Or is this just me? I get very overwhelmed when I pull into a parking lot and there's multiple spaces. I don't know where to park. You can ask Czar about this. It stresses me out. I would almost rather there be no parking spots. Then I wouldn't have to make a decision. Or how about this? I'm going to have to now decide, because Brian Salomon throws the ball so hard, I'm the first baseman, by the way, it went right through my glove. And it was on a double play, too. So it went through my glove. We didn't get him, but that's all right. We still won. But my glove, I found out, is actually older than most of the people on our team. 35 years old, I used that first baseman's glove when I was in high school baseball. It made me feel old. But anyway, I got to decide, am I going to get a new one for next season? Then we have semi-big decisions. So my daughter, as you know, last weekend got married, and she went through, it seemed like, a zillion different dresses, and this is the one she came on. So for those that were wondering, that's my son-in-law now, and that's, of course, me and Zara with Grace, and that's the dress that she finally decided on. Then there's big decisions. What house do we buy? What car do we buy? What college do we go to? Decisions, 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 right? So before we take a look at John chapter 6, that passage I just read, we're going to take a little walk through Scripture here at a couple other passages where we are given options, okay? And the first one is Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the Israelites are now in the promised land. This is Joshua, who succeeded Moses as the leader of the people, and he's speaking to them. They are free. They're no longer slaves in Egypt. Their ancestors way back in Egypt had become so accustomed to the worshiping of false gods that it just became part of their lives. They just went along with it, which is why Joshua is posing this option to the people. Could we put ourselves in this same sentence, by the way? We, in 2024 here, have become so accustomed to idolatry in America that we just go along with the worship of all these false gods. Have we become so desensitized to it that we just go along with it? You know, there's all kinds of false gods that we can come up with. We all have our little pet one, whether we want to admit it or not. Whether it be money, job, house, kids, sports, whatever it is. Joshua gives them a choice. Serve the false gods your father served while in Egypt, or serve the one true God. So I ask you, will your house serve the gods of this world or serve Jesus Christ? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, the passage I read earlier for the confession and absolution time. This passage talked about how we need to take no part in the fruits of darkness. No part of it. And the darkness, by the way, is just sin. When we partake in sin, we are walking in darkness at times, aren't we? And we're told to take no part in it. So that's why I read that passage before our confession and absolution time. Because we need to be reminded of this daily. You know, we do screw this up. We are indeed sinners, and we are in desperate need of a Savior. Because this option that we have of walking in light or walking in darkness is a daily one. And so I ask you, will you walk in the light or walk in darkness? Because a lot of times it's more comfortable in the darkness, if we're being honest. And now this leads us to this John passage I just read. This is 3 weeks in a row now from John chapter 6, where Jesus is talking about true bread. And he's got some very important things to say. And I wanted to focus in on two of those phrases that Jesus said in John chapter 6 there. And the first one is in verse 53 and 54. And remember what I said, whenever Jesus says the words, truly, truly, I say to you, pay attention, because what's coming next is very important. And here he has one of those. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And then we go to verse 60, where it says this, after Jesus said these words, when many of his disciples, John's not just talking about the 12 disciples here, by the way. There's lots of people. Remember, this whole discourse from Jesus happened shortly after the feeding of the 5,000, and these people track Jesus down in Capernaum, and there's all kinds of people there, and there's all kinds of people that follow Jesus around besides the 12 disciples. And so keep that in mind when I read this. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? So I want you to put yourself in their shoes for a second. This is a hard saying. We have the benefit of knowing, right, that we see the foreshadowing here of what Jesus is talking about. Communion, what he institutes at the Last Supper, where he does give his very body in the bread, his very blood in the wine to his disciples. But these people haven't heard this yet. Think about it. This would have been a very hard saying to digest. Really, Jesus? You want us to eat your flesh and drink your blood? What are we, cannibals? It was a hard saying indeed. And then we can go to verse 66. Keep in mind, this is chapter 6, verse 66. And after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him, because they couldn't take it. They couldn't take the saying that Jesus said, that he is the true bread and the true life. You know, this word choose can be tricky, and it makes Lutherans uncomfortable. But here's my best way of explaining this. When it comes to faith, the faith that we have, we don't choose to get our faith. Faith is a gift that the Holy Spirit works in us through baptism, through the waters of baptism, and his word connected with that water. The Holy Spirit works that faith in us. There's no logic on our own to get this faith. There's no pros and cons list to decide to get this faith. It's a gift from God, plain and simple. In fact, Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. But we can choose to reject walking in the light each and every day. We can choose to just walk away from God entirely. We can choose to reject that free gift. You know, being a follower of Jesus is not easy. It was never meant to be. Jesus is very clear in the Gospels. It's not going to be easy. The world will hate us because of him. But remember, they hated him first. Christianity is offensive to people. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. This is not a woke statement. It can become uncomfortable at times being a Christian, following Jesus, walking in the light. So I want to ask you this morning, the question that Jesus asked his disciples, now he's talking to the 12. After all these other so-called disciples left, do you want to go away as well? Do you want to go away as well? This is a great question by Jesus to us today here in 2024. So, people of promise, choose this day whom you will serve. Because we have been saved by grace through faith, you can shout this, you can shout this from the mountaintop, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.